Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. Thank you, team. Go ahead, grab your seats. Good to see you all today. We're in for a great day. Thank you, Josh. I've got a word on my heart that I'm really looking forward to sharing with you. Before I do that, I just want to share with you some good news just this week, things that have happened this week. Good news. Church, you did amazing in the appeal that we gave finance towards the tragedies that have been happening in Turkey and Syria. And I just wanted to let you know that this week we were able to send £5,500 through your giving. So give yourself a round of applause. We're working with Christian Aid and Open Doors Charity. It's harder than you might think to get money into Syria to help the right people. So thank God for those amazing charities and doing that. We had a great soul night this week. Thank you everybody that came and was part of that. And the other thing that happened this week, which I've been told I have to mention, was that we had a group called Prayer for Bradford, which is a group of different pastors and Christian leaders in the city. And we got together this week, and it was the first time in a long, long time that we actually had the meeting here and had lunch together here. So there was about 30 different vicars, pastors, leaders from all over the city and church. I just want to say what an amazing time it was. And Bishop Toby, the Bishop of Bradford, was there, and he said, "Jock, you have to tell the church how good this was. You have to tell the church how excited we are about what God is doing in your church. You have to tell the church how blessed we are that we're doing things in unity together. And when your bishop says you have to do something, you listen to the bishop." So I'm telling you that it was just such a great time, and there was such a sweet sense of God's presence in that room, and just an amazing time together. And then to top it off, Friday night, three young people gave their lives to Jesus. Come on, that is worth celebrating. God is doing good things. One more thing I want to talk about before I get into my message today, which is called Call to Creativity. Oh, yes. But before we do that, we've been speaking over the last 4 weeks about pictures of the church, and we talked about the church as a temple, the church as a bride, the church as a body, the church as the family of God. And as we seek to just continue to grow together as the family of God, there's a point sometimes where it's really helpful to ask for feedback. Because we might think it's going one way, and you might be having a different experience. And we're all in this together. And it's not really practical to sit here and do an hour's Q&A on a Sunday morning. So the easiest way to do this is we're going to invite you all to take part in a survey. Oh, the people that like surveys got very excited. So there's a survey. I think there's a QR code appearing behind me. If there isn't, don't worry. You can go to lifechurchhome.com/survey. Okay? And I want you to be as honest as you are able, and feel free to be. If you've been in the church 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 years, 20 years, however long you've been here, please do go on and complete that survey, because we really want to gather that feedback so that we can continue to keep growing as the family of God. Does that sound okay? Yeah. Fantastic. It takes about less than 10 minutes, so it's not too long. You don't have to put your name on it. You can do it anonymously, but if you choose to, you can put your name on at the end. We'd love to get as many people as possible to take part, so we just get to find out all the different areas of church life and what's happening. There might be areas that you ask questions about that you haven't experienced. There is a little skip button, so if it's asking you questions about kids' church and you're like, "I don't have kids or go to kids' church," you can press skip and just move on. So hopefully it'll be really easy to use, and we'll get some great feedback from you all. Okay, so that's that. Right. Today's message, called to creativity. I want to share this today because as soon as I said that, some of you already discounted yourself from the next things that I'm about to say, because you think, "Oh, I'm not the creative type." This isn't about a type or a personality, okay? And I want us to walk through the Bible together, and I want to share some things because our God is a creative God. Look at the person next to you. Yeah, exactly. Our God is a creative God. When we look at creation, we look at the world around us, we can see that our God is a creative God. And I really want us to dig into this today. And I am speaking from a standpoint that this world we created, that this world we live in was created by God. We live in a world created by intelligent design. And I actually think the deeper that we get into, maybe you're in here and you don't believe that, but I think the deeper we get into science, the more that we know about this universe, the more I think we have to realize there is an intelligent design behind it. It has God's fingerprints all over it. Whether we look at the stars in the sky, and the Bible tells us, you know, to just marvel at nature, just look at the world around us and you can see God's hand in it all. And maybe you think, well, I'm not sure about that. I'm going to say this and then just move on. If you think, I'm not sure it was designed because maybe there was just a big bang. Let me just ask you this question. What banged? Where did the energy come from? Where did the matter come from? Where did the elements come from? It's very easy to say, well, I'm not sure I believe that. I believe the big bang. Where did consciousness come from? I think it takes more faith to believe that than it does in intelligent design. But we're going to draw a line there, and we're not going to talk about evolutionary theories today. We're going to draw a line there. I did do my degree is in environmental science, so I could get quite geeky about this stuff, but we're not going to do that today. I just want us to consider that God is a creative God. And to just give you a little taste of this. I was watching again the amazing preach by Louis Giglio. Do you remember it called Indescribable? And he just talked about the stars and the world around us. And I just want to share a little bit of that with you because I think it just really helps us understand how creative our God is. We live in the Milky Way. Do we all agree with that? Fantastic. Okay, there it is. There's the Milky Way. There's your house. Sister, the Milky Way is made up of billions of stars, of which our sun is one of those stars. Now, if we were to zoom in on the Milky Way, it's a little bit closer, and we were to try and count the stars, shall we count the stars? You ready? We're going to count the one per second. You ready? One. Two. Okay, we could be here a while. In fact, I'll tell you how long we'd be here. If we counted every star one per second without any loo breaks, we would be counting for 2,500 years. Just to count the stars in the Milky Way. Our God is a big God. The Milky Way, go back to the big picture. By the way, this picture is an interpreted picture because we've never been out the Milky Way. You ever thought about how do they send you pictures of the Milky Way? Because we've never been out of it. How do we know it looks like that? It's a bit like if, you know, when you take a panoramic picture, you take lots of pictures and stitch them all together. That's how they make these pictures, because we've never left the Milky Way. But this picture, this is how cool we measure things in space in light years, okay? What's a light year, I hear you ask? It's like school, isn't it? A light year is how long it takes light to travel in a year. The clue's in the name. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. So that's in 1 year, a light year, it would travel 5.88 trillion miles. But in space terms, we'll just call that one. One unit. That's the measuring stick. To travel across the Milky Way, scientists tell us, traveling at 186,000 miles per second, which is the speed of light, it would take you 100,000 years. And this is just our Milky Way, which is, and scientists say there are hundreds of billions of other galaxies. There's stuff out there that we don't even know exists yet. And they send the Hubble Space Telescope to take pictures right out into space. These are some of the pictures of stuff that is happening out in space. Yes. What's that? What is God playing at? Why is he doing this? Because he's a creative God. The pictures are amazing. That we found a galaxy. That last picture of that sort of disk is 31 million light years away. So traveling at 860,000 miles a second, it would take you 31 million million years to get there. They found a new one last year. They've called it a catchy name. It's called Galaxy HD1. It's 13.5 billion light years away. It would take you traveling 186,000 miles per second for 30.5 billion years to get there. And that's not even the edge. God is an amazing God. Can we just give God a round of applause? It's been awesome. This is what God says in Isaiah 40, 25 and 26. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. He's named them all. Better names than HD1. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. How big is our God? And then we look at pictures of the earth where we live, and we see pictures of nature. Pictures like this. That's Beildon Moor. That's Ogden Reservoir. Isn't Yorkshire beautiful? But we can go out into the world around us and see things like this. Wow. God is just such a creative God. It speaks of the intelligent design. And I want to submit to you today that God is a creative God. But here's the second part that I want us to understand is that you are made in God's image. Yeah. Let me read this to you from Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness." Always a good question. Who was God talking to? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, perfect union together. Let us make mankind in our own image and likeness. And what I love is, up to this point in the creation narrative, everything, God just said it and it happened. Let there be light, there was light. Let's make this, made that. But here, I just love this signal of intent and anticipation. Not just man. It's like, no, let us make man. Come on, let's. This is special. Everything else is amazing, but this is truly special. And it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. It doesn't mean, when we say image, it doesn't mean like to look like God, because God isn't in human form. How can we look like God? But it means to be like him in our mentally, morally, socially. I haven't got time to unpack that, but to be in the likeness of him, to have his nature, to have to his freedom, to have his love and the propensity to do good, to have to be in community and live a social life, because God is himself a social God. Easier way of saying it, you are like your dad. You know, you see kids at a young age and they're just like really good at football. It's like, how are you that God? They're just really good at a musical instrument. They just pick it up. And often, it's the parents that were really good at football or music, or maybe it's academia or something. But and we say, oh, doesn't he take after his dad? You take after your dad. Your God is a creative God, and you take after your dad. Not only are you made in his image, but check this out. The Creator lives in you. Yeah. Not only were you made in his image, but he now actually lives inside of you. Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, lives in you. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, he lives in you. Colossians 1, verse 27. To them God, to them, that's us, we're the Gentiles here. To them God has given to make known among the Gentiles glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not only are we made in his likeness, but he now lives inside of us. Jesus is on the inside of us. Jesus, who was there in the beginning and will be there at the end. Jesus, who is the creator of all things. In him, by him, and through him, all things are held together and have their being. He started everything. He sustains everything. The earth is his footstool and everything in it. His is the name that is above every name, the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. He lives inside of you. And he lives inside of me. And that's why when I started, I said, don't rule yourself out and go, not me. I'm not like the creative type. This isn't a type thing. And I think what you mean by that is, I'm not artistic. Because what we've done in modern society, I think, is we've chosen to term that creativity looks like artistry. That if you're musical, or you can smash out a watercolor, then therefore you're creative. But that's just one or a couple of forms of creativity. Every single one of you is creative. Yeah. Well, I disagree. Well, you're disagreeing with the Bible. Because God says he made you in his image. The Bible says that God lives inside of you. So this isn't just an idea that I had when I had too much pizza last night. I'm reading you the Bible. You are creative. And maybe some of you, you know, have ruled yourself out of that, but maybe you're creative in different ways. Maybe you're not creative with that kind of keyboard. Maybe you're creative on a computer keyboard. Maybe you're creative in the way you build spreadsheets. We don't think of that as creative. Maybe you're creative in the way you administrate. Maybe you're creative in the way you care for people. Maybe you're creative in the way you connect people. Maybe you're creative in conversation. Maybe you're creative in your family with your kids. We are all creative. Nobody is ruled out. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm a creative. And this doesn't mean we all have to turn up to the creatives team. See, we even do it. We have a creative team. And we have creative nights. And it's generally for people that are, you know, more artistic. They do music or they're in the arts. But actually, we're all creative. Now, there are one of the things, just before I forget, is if you think, well, I don't know how I'm wired, I don't know how I'm creative, we have something called Growth Track, which Isaac mentioned earlier. And Growth Track is a great way for you to get involved and just find out about this church family. But maybe you've been here a long time and you still don't feel that connect. One of the great things we do in Growth Track is we talk about spiritual gifts and find out how God has wired you. And that is one of the great ways to find out where is my creativity? Because maybe it is in the way you host people. Maybe it's in hospitality. Maybe it's in the way you, as I say, pastor people and care for people. There's so many different ways. And Growth Track, I say that because Growth Track starts today, straight after the service. You don't need to sign up or anything. You can just go ahead, ask at reception. We'd love to host you there. Now, so God is a creative God. You are creative. There are so many different applications we can take from this. There's so many different ways we can look at it. But here's the application that I really want to speak to you about, because I just seem to know, I just get that sense of noticing this and seeing this, how we can apply this. And I honestly believe that if we can apply this to our lives, our week this week will be different. We can leave here changed by the power of God from this, from what I want to tell you. Are we up for that? Okay. When we face a challenge, a trial, a tough decision, a difficulty, an impasse, can I just check, am I in the right room? Does anybody face trials, challenges, tough decisions, impasses? Anyone? Okay, good. When we face those things, it is it is totally right that we wait on God. Amen? You know, we look to God, and it still never ceases to amaze me as a pastor that I still find and come across people who, when they go through a trial or a challenge, that is when they withdraw from church and they step out of church until they've got it all sorted. Can I just say, it's the wrong way around. If this family needs to be your hospital for a while, you are so welcome. Just come in, get your healing, get your restoration. This is not a place for perfect people, else, let's be honest, this room would be empty. So let's just come as we are. But it's right to rely on God. We wait on Him. And there are some times in life when things are absolutely out of our control. There is hands down, there is nothing we can do about this. So we're going to pray and we're going to give it to God. But I've also noticed that God is often not the God that pulls us out. He's often the God that leads us through. He's the God that walks with us through the challenge. He doesn't just come and take it away. And the reason I say that is, I think there are more situations in our life that we have control over than we'd like to admit. And the question that I thought of, when we're facing these difficult times, are you waiting on God, or is He waiting on you? And the more that I thought about this, sometimes I believe that we are waiting on heaven for an answer, but heaven is waiting for us to move. Heaven is waiting for us to trigger God by the power of our faith to do something, to get out of our comfort zone. And I think if we're not careful, because we live under grace, we can get too passive. Well, I don't want to strive and I don't want to push. So if it's a no, it's a no. And we just shrink back and God's like, no, you're a child of the Most High God. You are blessed and highly favored. So I know you've got a no this time. Well, what if I get a no again? No. Yeah, but what if you get a yes? There's no condemnation for he who is in Christ, so go again. And we rule ourselves out, but God is waiting for us to move. And I think there's a creativity inside of us that says, I can find another way. It didn't work that way, but I can find it this way. It didn't work out that time, but I'm going to try something else, because there's creativity inside of you. We're too easy to take no for an answer. I've been taught this by my wife, who is a woman that does not really take no for an answer. I'll give you a simple example. If I go into a shop to look for an item, I walk into the shop, the item is not there. I come out of the shop, I get in the car. Did they have the item? No, that is not the end of the questions. There are two further questions that should be asked, which I have learned now. Come back from the shop. Did they have the item? No, they did not have the item. Did you ask the man? That's the second question. So, of course, no, didn't ask the man. Go back, ask the man. Are you sure you have this item? No, we've classic line, we've only got what's out. So, is that a Yorkshire thing? Is it? We've only got what's out. Go back to the car. Did they have the item? No, they did not have the item. Did you ask the man? Yes, I asked the man. Did you ask the man if he had any out the back? So now I've learned, don't go back to the car. I get in the car, I say, they did not have the item. I asked the man, he has none out the back. But my wife can get us, we have been served hot drinks in restaurants that are closed. We have got into tourist attractions after the people in front of us have been turned away because it's been closed. My wife, she just doesn't take no for an answer. But I think sometimes we allow the challenges, we allow the constraints to close us down. But actually our constraints are an opportunity to unleash creativity. When we hit a wall, when we hit a no, it's time to get creative, because you are creative. The God that puts the stars in space and counted every single one of them lives inside you and says, I think there's more in you. Go again. We allow the constraints to crush our creativity, but then often our constraints lead to complaints. Well, that's great, Brother Jock, but I can't do this, or I can't, you know, I haven't got that opportunity, or you don't know what it's like. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And true, I don't know the situation that you're in, but I think God wants us to look at what we do have. And so often we focus on what we don't have, but God's going, well, but that, there's no good end to that. It will only, that constraint, as we focus on it, will only lead to complaint. But if we can look at that constraint and allow it to lead to a creativity that goes, well, what do I have? What can I start with? Who can I talk to? Who can I phone or speak to? What can I do to step out into that new job? How can I make inroads into maybe starting this business? How could I get involved in a new ministry? I don't feel like I've got much, but you've got something. And I just believe that sometimes the constraints lead us to breakthroughs we never even thought possible. Because God's going, yeah, it could just be smooth, or you could take this really weird route where you feel, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? But you're going to step out into something new and God's going to meet you there. And you are going to experience something in Him that you never thought possible, that you never saw Him doing before. I want us to get creative and partner with God in what He's doing. I'm going to get the band to come up as we bring this into the land, because as I look through the Bible is full. I'm not going to put scriptures on the screen because we haven't got time to go through all of these. Just think about them yourself and read them later yourself. But all through the Bible, it is littered with examples of people who started moving. They got creative and they started moving in a way that nobody else expected. And then God moved on their behalf. The widow with the jars of oil. Aaron spoke about it a few weeks ago. It's in 2 Kings 4. She's in a terrible situation, and the man of God comes to her and says, what are you going to do? She said, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, what have you got in your house? She said, I've got nothing except a little bit of oil. And he says, well, go and gather all these jars, and basically, let's see what God will do. So she's going around, she's gathering all these jars. Can you imagine people going, what are you doing? I'm gathering jars, but you've only got a bit of oil. I know, but it doesn't make sense. But when we step out, what if God meets us there? Imagine Noah building the ark. What are you doing, Noah? Spending decades building this boat. What for? Because the rain's coming. What's rain? Would have been the next question. I don't know. But stepping out and allowing God to meet us, doing something that's never been done. Think of the four guys that picked up the guy on the mat and brought him toward Jesus. And they've climbed up on the roof. We spoke about this. They climbed up on the roof. They had to dig out the roof to lower this guy before Jesus. They could have stopped in the street. They could have said, oh, well, hey, you know, we're not going to get to Jesus. And maybe it's not our day for the miracle. Are you kidding me? No, there's a creativity inside. I've got an idea. It's a little bit crazy, but it might just work. And it puts us, they put themselves in a position where they got God's attention. They would, and their faith triggered him into what they could do. Think about Moses standing in a flooded river with his stick, believing that those waters would part as an army chased him down, and he's responsible for all these people that he's bringing out of Egypt, and yet he comes with a staff and he stands in the middle and he walks out and hopes that the water, why? Because he's triggering God with his face. Sometimes we've got to do something we've never done before. Imagine Joshua going, I've got a great idea to take this city. We're going to walk around it 7 times quietly. And then on the 7th time, we're going to shout and we're going to pray and we're going to worship. And the walls are going to come down. Here's what I love about all of these things. Every time these things happened in the Bible, they were setting a precedent. They didn't have the Bible. The people that were in the Bible, we forget that sometimes. So when Joshua walks around the city, he's not reading it in the Bible going, I remember when so-and-so walked around the city and they did this. It's never happened before. They're setting precedent. When Peter's shadow started healing people in the New Testament, he would just walk past and his shadow would fall on them and they would get healed. I wouldn't build a ministry around it. You know, we're not going to start. It just has never happened. Well, why is that happening? I don't know. Because God is a creative God. He can do all things and we put him in these packages. But maybe he's going to do something in your life that's not even in the Bible. Yeah. I don't mean it's against the teaching of the Bible. I just mean you're going to have an experience, because not everything can be recorded in there, because God is boundless and infinite and limitless in what he can do. When Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on the water, he hadn't read it in the Bible. He was the first person to walk on the water. There has to be a first person to do that. I just want to say to you, sometimes you're looking at your world and you're thinking, oh, I don't know how we can do this. And God, all of heaven, Hebrews tells us that the great cloud of witnesses is there cheering us on, and all of heaven is ready. But we're just, I'll just wait for you, Lord. They're like, no, come on, step out. What is God calling you into? Get the jars together, lower the mat, sing the songs that shake the prison walls, walk around the city, whatever it is for you. Let's unleash this creativity that is inside us to go, there is another way. And maybe on that journey, you are going to find the presence of God. You're going to find the power of God like never before. Come on, let's stand together, because I want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray for you to unleash creativity all across your world. Maybe you need a new, I believe there's somebody in here that has got to the end of something. They're like, I can't go anymore. Maybe it's in a marriage. Maybe it's with your kids. Maybe it's in at work. I don't know what it is. And you're going, I can't go again. And God is going, yes, you can. Because my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. But I just need you to think differently. I need you to remember who you are and whose you are. I want you to remember not what you haven't got, but what you have got and who you've got. And I believe God is going to put new ideas inside of you, fresh passion inside of you, solutions that you've never thought of. And some of them might feel so limited and so small, but God's like, I'll take it. If it's just a toe in the water, it's not even a step out of the boat. It's just dipping your little finger in the water going, will this work? I believe God's going to take that, and he wants to help you move forward today. So I'm going to pray right now that creativity would be unleashed all across this room. Father God, we pray for a fresh anointing of your creative outpouring all across this room, Father. God, you are the God that makes a way where there seems to be no way. How creative are you, God, that you can make a highway out of a river, Father God. You can put a highway in the desert. You can make an oasis in a wilderness. You can do anything, Father God. And we thank you, God. We receive your fresh anointing of your creativity. Father God, every situation that we're lifting up where we feel stuck, whether it be in work or business or ministry or family, whatever it is, Father God, finances, we lift it up to you. And we say, God, we are going to do all that we can do by your creative power, and we're believing you for the rest, Father God. Thank you that when we get to the end of ourselves, we meet you there. Thank you, Father God. We believe for a breakthrough. Come on, lift up whatever situation or challenge you are feeling stuck in, or you feel that you're at an impasse. I believe God is going to put ideas in your heart right now so that he will be glorified, so that as you step out, you will see him move in power as you move in faith. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for joining us. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at Life Church Home. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you soon.